Lego my ego. Welcome back to Stranger Things. We are on season two. We're covering episode 1 through 5. It's the best show of all time. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Just the music.
Oh, oh we got live.
Whoa.
Hey.
Oh,
my goodness. I got chills.
I have not stopped having chills. She's a monster! Everybody run!
She's got the chills. Like, if her temperature's wrong, that's like a sign.
I understood. It was just, like, weird time because she had chills. It wasn't like, oh, I've got to be in cold places.
Just go with me. I'm trying.
Yes, and you. Now I get it.
Yes.
Guys, welcome back to the Stranger Things After Show. Holy crap, have we waited over a year for this. This is our favorite show of all time. Like, this show just does it, and what better way to drop it than on Halloween? This was like, I'm not going out, I'm not getting dressed up, I'm not going to do anything. I am watching Stranger Things episode 1 through 5. So if you're joining us right now, all you need to have done is watched 1 through 5. That will be what we are discussing. Oh, I got so sad that the music ended.
I know.
It was just so good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I knew it would come back. You guys can find me.
No, they need to listen to us.
That's true, too. You can find me at Roxy Stryer because I'm Roxy Stryer. And next to me, returning to the panel, it's good guy Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all the places at That Zach Wilson.
I really feel like we should change it to good guy Zach Wilson.
Don't look for that. It's not going to yet.
Don't look for that.
It's that just, Zach
he's
Wilson.
He's just a really good guy.
You can tweet me that you think I'm a good guy if
but
I am.
You have to do that Zach Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, got it. Next to him is Ivana Williams.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ivana Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams and on Instagram at Ivana.Williams. Ooh, I love this music.
Yeah, it's so good. And she really knows how to Lego people's egos. It's Amy Cassandra.
Hi, everyone. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Amy Cassandra TV. I do have one of these. Oh, it's over. One of these ego things upside down. On purpose.
Ooh.
And this is a real nosebleed. So just watch
and
out.
And you just kept
so
it
are
there.
You it like
it's not going
to you going to stand by that?
It's not. Don't worry.
Guys.
It's okay.
Totally
it's
now
okay.
It's happening. What's your question for?
Are you if 11 got spliced into Eggos?
What?
Cuz she's Eggos. But she's
stop.
Got the nose there.
It just went right
You're
over
on
me.
Fire tonight. Anybody who's listening on iTunes right now is like, what the hell are these
guys,
people
what's
talking
happening?
About? Amy is covered in legit Eggo boxes.
Yeah,
like
pretty much, yeah.
Actual Eggo boxed Eggos with some upside down.
Yeah.
And they are spliced. So kind of like 11. All right, guys. Now that we've got that weird stuff completely out of the way, totally nailed
of way.
All of that.
It's
no,
gonna keep happening.
It definitely stays weird for the entire show. Let's talk a little bit about our overall thoughts on episodes 1 through 5. So coming in from last year, obviously expectations were really high. There was a show that nobody even knew was coming out. And then all of a sudden it became the biggest hit there was. Mm. And so this year, everybody had their calendars set. Did it live up to your expectations?
So far, it has. So far, the show it's not leaning too heavily on what it was last year. It feels like we picked up where we left off, so it doesn't feel like we're missing anything. But it still is going to new places. It's hitting all the points that it still feels like we're remaking 80s things. But not all the same 80s things. Like, the first thing we see is that car chase. And that felt like a scene out of Terminator.
I love that. Ivana, did you think that it lived up to your expectations?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know what to expect. So I just went in, like, with an open mind. But it so far has exceeded my expectations. I got a little bit confused in some places. Because we're, like, digging deeper. And then we're finding her mom. What's going on with her mom? But it really did. And Erica is absolutely hilarious. These kids are leading this show. Like, the acting is phenomenal. I love
agree.
It.
Amy, what do you think?
Yeah, these kids are amazing. They all need Emmys. They're making me cry when they cry. They make me stress out like nobody's business when they're stressing out. But yeah, I mean, the expectations just like Like, are you kidding me? Insane.
I have to say, I cried too. I did.
What are you crying on?
For a few different things. Are you kidding? There was a dead cat and these little
boys. I thought you wrote that you were crying.
I had to stop it.
Yeah, I was watching it like 2 a.m. and I was just about to cut it off so I can finish it the next day. And then I see that little thing eating the cat and I'm like, wow, like this is really
cool. Also, not a mini Gorgon. Yeah, mini Gorgon. And also 11. Like, yeah. I just cry for her, what she's going through.
She's so alone.
It's already hard to be a little girl growing up. It's just challenging. And now she's doing all these things and she's got power she can't control. And she's locked in this cabin, which we'll get to. But
goodness.
Damn right I cried.
Yeah, frustrated.
And I screamed and I was scared.
Yeah, and you are passionate. I know that's right.
I was also really happy, though, because it did touch my 80s heart. I loved seeing all of those things. And I know, Zach, you were really happy with a lot of the sci-fi elements of it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested to see what they're building, and we'll get into that at length. But they're introducing some cool concepts. The whole Upside Down thing from last year, it was a cool, just a part of, like, a science fiction take that I haven't seen a lot of.
Take that from anywhere. They didn't.
I mean, they did. The alternate plane of dimension is something that's been used. I mean, they're referencing D&D a lot, and that's a big place where it's used. But the way that it's used with the science lab and connecting it to 11, all these things working together, it's setting up something really cool and more mystery to uncover, and we're starting to uncover it.
Just starting. I can't believe we had to stop at episode 5, too. That was such a horrible place for us to stop. What
Did
a cliffhanger.
Did y'all really stop at episode 5?
Yeah!
Yes! Oh, okay. Oh my... No!
You cheated the system.
Sorry. It's 5 minutes. Does it count, y'all?
I knew one of us would do it.
Oh, my God. I'm the traitor. Okay.
All right, but we won't give any spoilers past that.
Trust
because,
me.
Yeah, I do trust you. I trusted you when you said you'd stop at episode 5. So let's talk about some of these new characters.
I'm watching
because,
you.
Yeah, totally. I'm watching you, Steve. I see you, Steve. That's for any of you guys who watched last year. So we did get some new characters.
Yes.
One of them being Max and her not brother, Billy.
Yeah.
Weird bit of information, but a family member now?
And they hate each other.
It must be the stepkid. Like, I'm sure their parents got, like, their single parents got, like, married.
Okay.
And he's just like, I don't want to take care of a little kid.
But
I love Max. Max is awesome. That guy is the biggest piece of I can swear on
can
this,
we
right?
Curse? Yeah.
He's the biggest piece of shit. He's the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen.
That's how I feel.
He's terrible. All right, he is, but is he? Because I don't know. There's some moments where I'm like, what? I get it. You're young and you care about chicks and banging them and like being the dude
loud
playing
music.
Sports and met music. Go bros. But at the same time, he does he sucks. He sucks, and there are things he says, I'm like, you suck. But then does he actually not care about his sister? Because sometimes he does seem to care about her. Or does he not actually care about Jonathan? He did give Jonathan a bit of advice. So it's like, is this all a front? Is this all an act?
I think he cares about her out of obligation. Because if something really bad happens to her, it falls on him.
And he'll get in trouble.
You know, that's how it feels.
I think it's more than that, because he would act differently if it was just obligation. You can feel it. There's something underneath there that he really does. I mean, there are plenty of chances where he could have just screwed her over.
But there was also that thing where I was confused on what the show was trying to say. When he was talking about not hanging out with Lucas, is he racist?
That's okay.
Yeah.
But that feels like a false flag
a piece of crap.
To me. Like,
yeah.
That feels like they're like trying to make us think he's racist, and then we're going to find a story that it's like, no, little boys do bad things. Like, it's
but
not
there's
about...
there's other little boys. Why is it only that one?
Because he's only seen her talking to that one, maybe. I don't know. That he doesn't want her talking to men, or that he doesn't want her talking to him because he's black. So I couldn't tell what they were trying to say with that.
It was a weird beat. I'm supposed to hate this person, but I haven't figured out why yet. Like, what is his purpose
on the
show?
He's just filled with so much angst, and I just want to know what I need more on their story.
And did anybody get vibes that he was hitting on Jonathan in the locker room a little bit?
Yes, no. What?
Yes!
I was kind of like, so are they saying that he's closeted and that that is why...
He's got all these built-up emotions.
Yeah, there were so many things they kept dropping where I was like, am I reading too much into this, or is this what you're putting down?
Right.
No,
you know,
like the shower scene, I really thought he was going to do something
Yeah, but then he didn't.
The shower
so
scene.
We have mixed opinions on him. In general, he's kind of a bad dude. But Max. Are we all on Team Max?
Yeah.
Yes. Hell yeah.
I was totally on her side, too, when the guys were like, no, we're not gonna, you know, I totally understand.
What were they like?
Like, don't join us.
Totally. Nailed it.
Exactly it.
So I was totally
that's
like...
That's what we think you sound like, Zach.
Exactly like all that. Men.
Whoa.
I'm kidding.
So I was totally on her side when that was happening, and then she stood her ground, and the fact that Lucas was saying, hey, wait, I can't tell you, it's your own risk, blah, blah. And then the fact that she went and listened to him, and we'll get into that later, but I'm totally on her side. I think she's a rock star. I think she's way tough, mm-hmm. tougher than she looks, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Did you understand why Mike was so hesitant to let her in, or were you guys annoyed with Mike in those situations?
I'm annoyed with Mike because of the fact that he's, like, letting her into the group, but then, like, excluding her at certain, like, points with no explanation. It feels like he's just, like, no girls except Elle.
No girls allowed unless you're
Elle,
man.
That's how it feels. Yeah, he's very, like, it feels like he's very still, like, no, girls are icky. We don't want her around. Because Elle, I mean, yeah, she's a girl, but she has supernatural powers. Like, so she's the... what do you call the exception or something? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks, but I get it.
It doesn't feel like he's doing it to protect the secret. It feels like he's doing it because of, like, idiot kid reasons. And that's why I'm not on Mike's side.
But I feel like he would be doing this if Max was a boy, too. I just don't... I think he's protective right now of his club, and the last person they let in was Elle, who happened to be a woman, but I don't think that's relevant to him. I think it's just like, the last person we let in ended up breaking my heart. Because that's something that we aren't really acknowledging, that he's heartbroken right now. I know he's a little kid, and that who knows what was going on with them, but he's heartbroken. Yeah. And so I kind of feel where he's coming from. He got burned, and he's hesitant to let somebody else in.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some other new characters. What do you guys think about Bob?
Love him.
Love Bob for Joyce.
You want them to actually be together?
Absolutely.
Like, end game, you ship them?
Like, this is it.
What?
No.
What?
No, Hopper.
Yes.
So freaking cute. But I do love me some Sean Astin.
Oh, me too.
Just, oh my God.
Zach? Uh-oh.
I'm torn on Bob. Like, he seems like a good guy right now, but I don't trust it. I feel like there's something coming. Like,
I kind of feel that way, too. I feel like
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. That's how I felt for 4 episodes. And I was, like, ready to come in and, like, talk about how much, of like, Bob's going to, like, lash out as this overprotective, like, dad who's like, no, you're not going out with your friends because, like, we have to protect you. But now, like, now we've seen him, like, falling underground and, like, going with Joyce into this, like, tunnel. I'm sort of like, I'm like, okay, maybe you're going to turn out to be brave, but I don't know what his purpose on the show is if he's not going to be any kind of obstacle.
My problem is, because I kind of agree with you, my eyebrows are raised at him for sure, and I'm wondering what the deal is. Either he's actually working for somebody else and he's been planted here and he's a spy.
Yeah.
No.
Because he's so smart. He solves the puzzle so quickly. He's, what does he call himself? Like Mr. Brain?
Bob the Brain.
He's Bob the Brain. You're that smart. But...
which was his nickname in high school, I think, is what Hopper said.
Yeah. You're Bob the Brain, but then you don't see what's going on at all. Mm-hmm. And
but how are you
he did come in the house and solve that whole map quickly. He's like, oh, it's a map of... And I'm like, dude, really?
Yeah, but so if he's that smart, then how is he going down this place being like, wait, Joyce, what are we doing? This is weird. All right, I'll just go along.
I'll go with you.
Yeah.
How is he supposed to know it's the upside down? It's like, oh, we're somewhere here. Okay, all right, I'll ask questions later.
What if he does know, and that's why he's going along with all of this?
Right.
I don't know. He might just end up being a good guy, but if he's just a good guy, why? Why is he... why do we have him?
Yeah,
because
like,
he helped them.
Because he, you mean like...
Yeah, with the river, like with the map.
That's episode 5. Why do we have him for the rest of the season?
Because it's Sean Astin.
Yeah, that's true. And he's killing it, and he's so cute, but I don't look at them as endgame.
Oh, no.
He's either going to be somebody, like, in the road, like, he's going to block some kind of path for us, or he's going to turn out to be, like, an actual Russian spy. That's the twist that I can see. I don't think he's working for like the Department of Energy at the, like the Hawkins Lab and all that. I don't. That would be a twist too far.
We have
for me.
Mentioned Russian spies a
but
lot.
But that's the thing.
This
they
year.
Keep mentioning Soviets and Russian spies and playing that up, which is, again, it's the 80s. So like that's on everybody's mind.
Absolutely.
But they keep mentioning it to the point where I'm like, what if he really is? Like when Paul Reiser went into all that stuff about like the what would the Soviets do if they found out? I could see if Bob turned out to be a sleeper agent.
I kind of feel you on that. I think that's smart. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. I was just thinking maybe he was linked with them in this evil
with
corp.
The Hawkins
but,
lab?
Yeah, with Hawkins. But maybe bit. It's not. Maybe he totally is
a separate thing.
A whole different entity.
ZSB in the chat thinks I sound like Bob. And I'm going to take this as a compliment because it means I sound like Sean Astin.
Like speaking of compliments, you got a lot of compliments on your ego thing too. They love that, and they like our retro vibes.
Thank you guys so much for joining us live.
So nice.
Why is everyone agreeing with that?
With what?
That you sound like him?
Yeah.
What's wrong with sounding like him?
I don't know.
Okay.
Come on, Samwise.
Carrying on. But awesome that you guys are in the live chat. In case you want to join us in the live chat next week, we're here Sunday at 7 p.m. We'll be covering episode 6 through 9. I know that there's 9 episodes this season. There's 8 last season, so that's kind of nice that they gave us a little bonus.
Yeah, give us an extra 45 minutes.
Yeah. They should give us 11.
I wonder
that'll
why
be the final
season.
The final season will be exactly 11
that's
episodes.
That's where we do one of the ba-dum-tsh. Yeah,
ba-dum-tsh.
So good.
I'll do it.
Just for a little behind-the-scenes information for you guys, when we were doing our mic checks, Amy counted all the way to 11 and then paused and waited for the applause. It was pretty awesome. We had other new characters that also came through. None of them as big as the ones we mentioned, mm-hmm. but one that we particularly liked was Erica. She is feisty.
I love her.
Little spitfire. Like, sassy. This is so me when I was a kid with the walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
Like, picking up my brother's walkie-talkie, being like
shut up.
Yeah, shut up. Stop. You're annoying.
Yeah. And then she cuts it off.
Yes.
Like, oh.
But
okay.
Like, she has no idea what's going on. I saw some people online being like, Erica, you're ruining everything. And it's like, dude, she's a little kid.
That's her job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love her. I wonder if she will end up coming back later in the season and actually, like, helping somehow major, or if she's just there for comic relief. What do you guys think?
I think comic relief.
A little bit of both?
I hope so.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad that we were able to meet her and see a little bit more of Lucas's family.
I'm glad we're seeing a lot of their families this season. Like Dustin and his mom, I'm loving watching that relationship. Although it is kind of
goofy.
That's another, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to cry right now
I
at the
am
table.
Cry.
What's that cat's name again?
Mew Mew.
How dare you? How dare you?
Well, he dead now, so. No, yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding.
Moving on. Let's talk a little bit about Nancy, guys. Nancy is on quite a journey this
season.
Yeah,
she is.
So the first thing that we see her doing, or one of the first things, is when she goes over to Barb's house for dinner with the parents.
That was so awkward.
That was one of those crying moments in the bathroom for her and for me too. Like, this
I don't
is
know
so
if I could
uncomfortable.
Do that.
Did it take you guys a minute to be like, what's happening here? Like,
it did. It threw me off only because I was also still trying to figure out who these people were for like a, for like 30 seconds.
Yes.
In the scene.
Did we do this? Was this did fans make this happen? Like, if nobody had tweeted about Barb and Barb had not lived on, they would have never mentioned her again.
They would have mentioned her, but I don't think her plot line, the way like it affects Nancy, would have been so central to this story. Like, justice for Barb was everywhere.
It is still right now.
The Twitter campaign got her an Emmy nomination.
Wild.
That's what happened.
I know.
Thank you, social media.
Well, wow.
I did notice that there was a picture in the restroom or the bathroom at Barb's parents' house. And that's totally not important.
So strange.
So weird because it's like, oh.
Why isn't this on the mantle? Like, why is this in the bathroom right now?
It's like they're
sometimes
putting it everywhere.
You like to look at something when you're, you know, going number two. It's like reading
it's
a book.
Inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Or the mom went in there.
And I was like, nope.
Or the mom took it in there because she just like wanted to keep looking at her baby who is now missing.
That's where she goes to cry.
Yeah. It's the crying.
Okay. It's not as weird now.
When we initially see Nancy and Steve together, were you guys surprised that they had made this work?
Yes.
Me too. I didn't think that this was where the show was going to pick up with them because he was such a jerk-a-burk. I don't even know what that means, but that's what came out. Okay?
It's extra jerk.
If we hadn't had that Christmas moment at the end of last season, I would have been surprised. But like, they told us basically that they were gonna still be together, so I would have been more surprised if they'd had that sweet little Christmas thing, and then they were like, you know what? No, I'm calling this off.
That's kind of what I feel like guys like Steve, what we had seen in the past, do. They have the sweet moments, then they have the blow ups. They have the sweet moments, and then it's over with.
Yeah.
Steve's trying to turn it around.
For real,
the change man.
Oh my gosh, he's so much different now that I trust him more than I trust Jonathan. Is that weird?
I never trusted Jonathan because, like, you were taking nudies of somebody, so I never forgot that. You can't do that, bro.
This is true.
Look, they're both terrible people. Like, we've established this in season one.
No one's perfect.
Not everybody's perfect, but not everybody takes nude pictures of somebody without their consent or slut shames on a public wall.
Also true. Agree with both those things. Although this season, I agree that I do trust Steve more than Jonathan, because I don't.
Well, what makes you not trust Jonathan?
Because he took the nudies, man. Because I think he's all in this for Nancy, and I never think that's a good reason to be part of a mission. Like, this is not his fight.
Just because you like somebody,
I feel like she could do one wrong thing, and he could turn on her. Now, we did see him save her butt, and he lied for Steve to make him look better, saying that Steve asked him to take her home. So maybe I should trust him. It's possibly something about his face. Like, the way that he looks like a villain sometimes.
You know, trust him.
Just like his eyes. Yeah. I'm like,
it's in the eyes,
it's
right?
In your eyes.
And that's what all those kids at that high school think. They see Jonathan, this like sweet kid, and they're just like, you look weird. We don't like you anymore. And so he's just like,
no, he doesn't look weird. I think he's a good looking kid. I think he looks like something's happening. I think it's an acting choice. I think that he's looking at Nancy, and I'm like, I don't know if your heart's in this or if it's in her. That's why I don't completely trust him.
Well, we know that's what he wants, but...
Yeah. So I saw on social media that Steve is, like, the character of the year. Like, everybody watching the show is, like, all about Steve now. They think Steve is the best.
All about Steve.
He's got some great hair.
You know? I was going to say, that hair is
it's so
gorgeous.
It's so full. I'm like, wow.
How do you get that volume, first of all?
I don't know.
How do you
keep
it that way?
Hairspray, like, man. It's the 80s.
But
look, John Ralphio Jr. is as a new man, and he's doing his best. Like, the essay was, like, adorable.
Yeah.
He's like, please edit this. And she's like, this is...
No.
Yes!
Ooh. Yeah. He's trying. Nice. He's working his butt off. I think it's nice to see that she is the one who's kind of, like, shutting him down, though. That party scene was rough.
Yep.
I mean... Yeah. Like, I can't blame a girl. Been there, done that. Embarrassingly so. We've all had a little too much, or maybe it's just me, but I certainly have. But, God, to not say that you love him, to say bullshit, bullshit, bullshit over... Oh, this broke my heart for him.
It's a side of her that we hadn't really seen much, but she's having a hard time grieving and processing Barb's death. So now, of course, it's just like, bleh, it's just word vomit.
And guilt. You know? The guilt she's feeling.
Yes.
And she was so believable. Like, so, I feel a lot of actresses out there can get a little messy when they're drunk acting, but hers was so real.
Yeah, they almost make it like they're little kids again as opposed to drunk, but hers, she nailed that performance.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, and we've been there too, where you get something on your shirt and you're just like embarrassed and sloppy and you can't go back out there. I thought something way worse was going to happen to her though when we saw her in that situation.
I was trying not to think that way, but yes.
But even like a Barb situation, I was like, oh no, don't go in a pool somewhere. What's going to happen now? Like, where are we going with this?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, we're just seeing, like, this is what I love when shows do this with science fiction stuff is, like, we're seeing the emotional fallout, not just, oh no, like, the town has to deal with, like, there's a dead body and we're covering it up and all that like military style stuff, but just like, what's the fallout when somebody dies in the crosshairs of a monster that's loose? Like, that's not, it doesn't go away overnight. You don't just move on.
Sure doesn't.
She's still with Steve. But it was because she was with Steve that Barb died in the first place.
Like, and if she remembers that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she's blaming herself. probably blaming Steve a little bit, even though, like, you can't put that specifically on him. It doesn't change the fact that she's blaming their relationship.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's going to make it hard for her to commit 100%.
What did you guys think about her plan with calling Barb's parents and them listening in and then her having the recorder in her purse? At what point was that her plan, and at what point did she just get lucky as hell?
I think that was their plan from the top.
So she knew when she called Barb's parents that Barb's parents wouldn't show, and that instead they would get wiretapped, and then they would come and they would take them to the facility, and that she would have it in the purse, and that they would then let her go. Like, there's no
so
way.
So elaborate. That got me confused.
Yeah. I was a bit confused. That's why,
I think we know that they're going to wire the house, because we saw that in the first episode when all of the, in the flashback, when all the Department of Energy people are in the house, and the dad's like, this family's full of patriots. And so I think they knew that they were bugged, so they knew that they were going to get listened to when they called. And I think they just assumed that, like, if they did that, Barb's parents are not going to show because they're going to be told not to.
Right.
But
then that they were going to get taken and then let go?
Yeah.
Let go, sure. But the... let go without being searched.
Yeah.
That was my only problem with that. Is like, that is not a small thing that you, like, hid in your shoe or, like, a clip in your tie like we have today.
It was
I have seen purses smaller than that thing. And how were you brought into this top secret government facility, showed top secret things, and not searched?
And then, just,
it's a different time? I don't know.
Well, and
I guess
so,
different regulations,
Yeah, like, here's all this really amazing knowledge. Bye.
I feel like that we have to just, in our brains, be like, that's the 80s for you.
I do that a lot. Because I'm like, why? Okay, it's the 80s.
Yeah.
Different.
I was watching with my girlfriend at one point when all the guys are around them in the car. She's like, don't open the door. Just call the police. And I'd be like, there's no cell phones.
Here, call them with what? Yeah.
Hello?
How?
Yeah. This isn't working. I did want to send a little shout out. So the guy that goes up and is basically like, hey, do you guys need a ride? I interviewed him here at AfterBuzz.
Cool.
Yeah, James Dumont, and he did not tell me that he was going to be on Stranger Things because of the NDA, and I was like, gotcha. So that
awesome.
Was really
Shout
cool.
Shout out to him.
Yeah.
He did a good job.
It was great. Creepy.
What a dream show to be a part of, just to, like, be on that set and be part of a different decade and, like, looking around.
Yeah.
I want to go to the underdown.
the underdown.
Yeah, like, not down under, the upside down world. Yeah. Totally. Let's talk about the boys, because this is the show.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are like, there's all different parts of the show that make the show. No, to me, this group is the frickin' show. This is why it works and what makes it different, sets it apart. So Dustin, really shining this season. They're giving him a lot to work with. Although, I kind of want to shake him. Because, what do we talk about? Friends don't lie to each other, man!
Friends don't lie.
And what are you doing with Dart? You're pretending to look in trash cans, and he's in your room, bro? That's a big-ass lie!
And most importantly, that cost Mew Mew his life.
Yeah, talk about feeling guilty.
Yeah.
Now he's got Nancy syndrome. He's gonna feel real guilty.
Yeah, R.I.P. Well, Mew Mew. And then he had to literally clean up after dark. He has to clean up all that blood and stuff on the carpet. Like, see, look at you.
I felt awful for everybody involved in that. That's not a win for anybody except for Dart.
He didn't win either because he just got kicked into a...
storm cellar.
Yeah, that's true, too. That was intense, too.
It was.
He didn't get kicked. He got slapped shot.
What, a hockey stick?
Like, good on Dustin that he actually managed to do that, but I don't know if that stays, because Dart's gonna definitely, if he can eat that nougat, he can eat whatever the hell's down there. Dart's gonna end up being 12 times as big. We've seen what they grow into. We've seen that.
Yeah.
So do you guys
little
think that this is
thing.
This is a full just Demogorgon,
yes,
like we
I
saw
do.
Last
yeah,
year. Or
it is.
Well, just because I know it went from, like, the bipedal, like, polywog to a 4-foot quadruped, but is it going to evolve, keep growing and evolving till it's a full, bipedal?
Yes. Yeah, I think that would be the Demogorgon. Assumption because we've seen.
I guess, the Demogorgon ran on four legs a lot, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's that.
All right.
Like, right there. I do want to say Dustin did such a... Well, the actor did such a great job talking to his mom. with the situation with Miu Miu. Sorry, guys.
Just keeping her calm, you mean?
Yes. Where he was, yeah. That could have
also
easily...
Also playing her.
But yeah. That could have easily been condescending. And it was just, like, he became the parent, but not in a bad way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he totally, lied, tricked.
I know!
Everything horrible that you could do as a child to his friends and his mom.
Oh, you
know
when he was on the phone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But he's like, oh, hold on. Oh, really? Okay, sure. Yeah, uh-huh, thank you. Meanwhile, on the other line, like, they've already hung up.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. We know you don't lie because it leads you down a bad place. And I'm glad that we had Lucas following through with that this season. Lucas is maybe, I don't know, they're all my favorite at different parts, but he's kind of my favorite. Like, everything he does from the Ghostbuster situation, like standing up for himself there, to ending up talking to Max about everything, he has a good moral compass.
He's very open and honest.
Yeah.
He's mature.
You want to talk about the most uncomfortable thing I felt when they showed up to school in costume and no one else was in costume? Oh my God.
You've been there?
I don't know that I've literally been in that situation, but I've been in similar situations.
Yeah. I felt bad for them, but at the same time, like, whatevs. You got your buddies, man.
Like, that's awesome.
I just keep going, put the packs away, guys. Just at least put the packs away.
Well, I think that makes it worse, because then it just looks like an outfit choice.
Like janitors.
I feel like if you're gonna go out that way, it's a good way to go. You know, Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Totally.
I just wish they would have realized how cool Ghostbusters are going to be in the future.
Yeah, it was not the same way. Wearing your nerdiness on your sleeve like that, not the same as it is today.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that sticks with you, like, all through high school. Yeah. Then you're that guy that did that.
That literally that day will be brought up to them for the rest of, until they move to another town or go to college.
And I don't think they'll laugh about it until at least 25. That will be when they finally are like, that's a funny thing.
Yeah.
Who is crushing on Max? That's what I'm confused. So are they both?
Luke, yeah.
Are both Lucas and Dustin crushing hardcore on
Max? Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I don't really get. I kind of feel. Lucas is kind of. I feel like he's the same with Mike, but. Dustin, absolutely. He's like head over heels over Max. But Lucas might. I think he might have a better way of hiding it. I'm not feeling it yet.
But you don't think that's why he divulged all this information to win her heart?
Probably. I don't know if it's to win her heart. Like I said, he's just so open and honest anyway, and maybe he was just trying to look out for her. But I don't know if it's just because he likes her and wants to impress her.
Does she believe him at this point?
Because absolutely not.
At the end? Yeah, at the end of episode 5, I think she does.
When she walks out, he says, "Do you believe me?" And she doesn't respond, so it's definitely open for interpretation. But the last thing she said was like, "You're serious," because he tried to cover her mouth from talking.
Yeah.
So I'm 50-50 on that.
Yeah.
I think she believes that he's not trying to play her anymore.
She believes that he believes what he's saying.
Yeah, like, I think she still has to figure out, like, why he thinks this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows that he's not, like, joking. Mm-hmm. This isn't a game to him.
I agree with that. I agree. And I wonder if she's going to help or hurt the situation. Because she could either get on board, but everything we've seen her do so far, like, remember when she opened the door right as Dart was coming out and that's how Dart got loose?
Yeah.
I feel like she's now that she's in, she might mess something up somewhere.
Inadvertently.
Yeah, and then they're going to all be pissed at Lucas because it's like, bro, we decided not to tell her, and then what the hell was that?
I know, because now he told her the other guys don't know.
Yeah.
So that's making decisions for the group without the group's consent.
And you're not allowed to do that, because that's not part of the team. What do they call themselves? You're not part of the... It's like
the party.
The party.
The party. The party. Yes.
Which,
I want to be part of the
Max,
party.
Me too.
Max took to using the party terminology like that.
Yes.
Like, without even, like, a question. And that's just some straight-up D&D stuff.
It's
next-level ridiculous.
For sure.
You can't be part of the party. We've already got a paladin.
It's like reminding me of my childhood so much. I think it just tugs on our heartstrings in that way. Mike, let's talk about him a little bit. He is the best friend of the group, I feel like. Mm-hmm. He is just... there for the other guys, and it is so not a kid. Like, I feel like he is a 70-year-old man trapped in a little kid's body.
I was
going to
say that, like, he's
sometimes.
So old acting.
The way that he's there for Will is so impressive this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How he just kind of drops everything and, like, is empathetic in a way that little kids usually aren't.
Yeah, well, as he should be after what they've been through, so.
Yeah, but imagine being that age and knowing what somebody went through, how would you even you wouldn't have the tools to handle
that. How do you know
that?
To take care of them?
How do you talk about that? Like, bro, I totally understand what you're going through, considering you were on a different plane with monsters and, like, we're gone.
Considering you were literally out of this world.
Yeah. Like, but I just think Mike handles it very well.
He does.
So I'm impressed by him.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, because I think a lot of kids would run the other way. So he decided to stick around with the party. And because even last season, we saw that sometimes they could get disintegrated, like the party could just disappear at any time, but they've all chosen to stay together, maybe not always physically because of Dustin trying to look for everyone, but just to be there for each other.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like, what's not cool when you're a little kid is hanging out with the guy who's spacing out, having seizures, crying, crouching down in the corner. That's what you don't think's cool at the time, but Mike just like doesn't even have that in his brain. I think it's pretty cool.
Mike's really protective of his friends.
Yes.
But he is definitely slow to accept people.
Yeah, like we saw with Max.
Yeah. I do like the question, like, what the hell is a Zoomer?
Yeah.
I literally like that moment. I imagine it's like a ranger, but only with swords.
That scene was a great scene.
Yeah,
but
because like Mike, the moment he starts to
accept
slightly bond with someone
or even acknowledge that person's existence.
Hello,
yeah, that's such horrible timing.
Yeah, that was really bad. But like, and I get why she did this because she just doesn't know what's going on. But 11, not chill girl code.
No.
You can't just knock this girl off her skateboard because you're a little jelly.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Not chill, girl.
I was like, girl, don't do that.
Don't be that girl.
Don't be that girl.
But I get it, though. I get it.
I get that you've been locked in a cabin for a while, but still.
But, like, don't be jealous.
You've been watching all these old school movies. It's not chill. Don't be that
they
girl.
They don't do that.
I feel like it just kind of came over her. Like, she didn't even think about it. She just acted.
No, she doesn't have... Well, like, here's the only thing. It's like, the jealousy angle for her, it's like... Where does she even know how, like, what it is to be
jealous
that way? Because she hasn't seen him in almost a year.
But that's all she's thought about.
It's not a very natural reaction. It's natural to become jealous.
Those are feelings in there.
How do you get over somebody? You meet somebody else. She's literally not even seen anybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not meeting other people.
Yeah.
She's by herself all day. We're getting to her. But before we do her, I want to talk about Will. Because this kid...
Holy crap.
This kid, though...
His acting is the best.
He's incredible.
Oh, my God.
He's incredible.
God.
But last year, we were like, all right, what the hell just came out of his mouth?
Yeah.
Where is this going?
What was that?
This year, he's full-blown seizing out every scene. I feel awful for him.
Yeah.
But the best moment is when Joyce finally looks at him and is like, I believe you. So talk to me about what's going on. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what every kid wants? Just their parent to look at them and be like, I see you, I hear you, even though everybody else thinks you're insane and your therapist and all these people, like, I believe you. Talk me through
it. That goes
it.
A long way.
It makes me want to cry. It's so good.
It's so good.
This show is so good in a different way that other shows aren't. Because it makes you think and it makes you feel differently, if that makes sense. But the way that Will is going through everything and that we're experiencing everything also with him... And having the flashbacks that almost he's having is very stressful.
The true sight or the flashbacks? Everything?
Yes, everything that he's feeling.
They did mess with the timeline a lot this season, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's like you wonder where you are. Eleven's hair really helps us figure out where and when we are. And we figure out more about Will. Like, this is what's currently happening, not where he was. But at first, I thought we were experiencing flashbacks, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is... It's interesting that that's how they handled this.
Someone in the chat said, because his real name is Noah Schnapp, they said Noah Schnapp came to play.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And yes, he did. Because he's getting a lot more screen time, and he absolutely deserves it.
Well, I thought that last season, I kind of felt bad for him, because it's like he's the lead, but he's not in it, because he's not there, you know?
Yeah.
So I was glad that he definitely got this time.
He actually gets to be on the show this time.
Yeah.
Also, we see you this time.
Also, it's cool to see Will and
Joyce.
Mike's relationship together as best friends, because we haven't seen them together that much. Mm-hmm. And for them to have that chemistry that is so, like, we believe it. So it's so easy. It's great.
What did you guys prefer? Did you prefer the last season puzzle of the lights or this season puzzle of the drawings? Because I kind of felt like they were the same.
Oh, I don't know that I have like a preference over them. They're interesting. Again, we also don't know if the maze is going to be like where it's going to go from here.
That's true. And where the lights go from here,
the,
too.
The lights was a great... here's the difference, because like this is sort of... Stranger Things 2 is aliens as opposed to Alien. Last year was way more on the horror side of things. Like, it was dark, it was spooky. The run thing, as it slowly built up in the lights, was like straight out of a horror movie. But this year is much more heavy, like, on action and driving story forward. There's still horror elements. It's still, like, an action horror. But it's much more, like, story moving forward. And, like, there's nothing creepy about the map, necessarily. Yeah. It's just, like, it's a device that's getting the story
to move
forward.
I think the map was creepy as hell, as he's drawing it quickly.
So I like it either way, because, yeah, exactly, the map is still taking up so much of the house.
Visually, yeah.
Yeah, and I love visuals. But it's not like the lights went away, because when Eleven went to go visit her mother, like, the lights are still flickering, so we know that the mom is still trying to reach out from the other side.
Great segue. Let's talk about Eleven and her journey for the first 5 episodes of the season, because holy crap. What is Hopper's plan of action here?
Like, he doesn't get...
It's so annoying, because it's like, you can't really keep her in. Like, she has superpowers, so you can't hide her that long. She's a teenager, too, so everything she feels is even more intensified with her powers.
Yes,
so it's insane that he thinks that he can keep her there and be okay and keep saying,
Hopper's perspective, he's like, I can't let you out, because literally if you go out, the moment she left, one person saw her.
Yeah.
And it all went to shit. And if he went out with her, it's a small town. Everyone knows who he is. If Hopper is just walking around with this little girl, even if they didn't recognize her as Eleven, it would still be like, wait, what? Hopper doesn't have a kid.
Yeah.
Who's that?
And that's why I feel like he has no game plan. He's just every day like, please let us make it through the day.
Exactly. That's what's annoying. He doesn't have a plan. She's just there.
But she's alive.
The false promises, though. Like, not coming home with the candy.
Lying. And he's hurting her feelings so much. Like, that touched my heartstrings.
And not being able to say sorry. And I guess she should have, too, and she destroyed the house. But
hello.
You're the adult in the situation.
Yeah. Right.
They both have such strong feelings that it's just none of them...
They are not
getting
along.
Neither one of them is going to apologize.
The thing is, like, I don't think either one of them is really in the wrong. Like, they're both a little bit in the wrong.
They're both totally in the wrong.
But yes. Like, they're both also just reacting in a very human way towards a situation with no good options.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I can't think of a single other thing that Hopper could have done once he finds Elle other than keep her there.
Move. No. And that's his life, and I'm not saying he should have, but that's the other option.
Then how is she going to, like, obtain a whole new identity?
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, but Hopper can't move, because the Department of Energy has him under their thumb. Like, they're keeping an eye on him. If he suddenly was like, you know what, I'm moving away, they would find that suspicious.
Maybe.
And they would follow him. Like, they weren't... If they found out that Hopper moved away, and maybe he could disappear and change his name or whatever, maybe... But unless he could do a complete identity wipe, there's no way that he's going to suddenly have a new daughter, and the Department of Energy is not going to figure that out.
Oh, I'm not a believer in the no solution. What is the Star Trek?
Well, he's basically waiting, and he's buying time. Like, he's like, we have to stay low. That's what he's saying. Soon, he's like, I'm making headway with them. His plan is basically to keep it. And whether he is or he's not, like, that's the only thing he can think to do is to play the long game and, like, wait until an opportunity presents itself to move things forward.
But it didn't work.
Elle's doing it on her own. I mean, I totally get, like, why he's doing that, because government agents will absolutely be after him and her. So I get, and he wants to protect her and keep her safe, and that's the only way he knows how. So there's no other plan, but... Elle, she just kind of took matters into her own hands. So now I just want to see how this is going to go.
Yeah, me too. I doubt perfectly, though. Like, there's no way that this ends and it's, like, with a little bow on top.
Mm-hmm. No.
I can't picture that happening.
It's really interesting to see her powers evolving and, like, mm-hmm. what this is. Like, what her, like, the way that she's using it to not only reach out to Mike, but to reach out to her mom. And, like, the other things, like, that she can do that at all that stuff. And now with number 8 out there, mm-hmm. like, we see that they can create complete optical illusions in mm-hmm. somebody's brain. Like, who knows what 11, so she's 3 experiments past 8. So, or 4, whatever it would be. So what does that, like, what are her powers going to be once she's fully gets control of them?
Oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting, but it's nerve-wracking because it's nobody training her.
No.
Like, nobody's teaching her. Mm-mm. Here's how you do that. She needs to go to, like, somewhere with the X-Men.
Superpower school?
Yeah.
But there's, unless like she that. Finds number 1, which maybe 1 is out there.
Maybe 1's not alive.
Or we don't know.
I mean, that would be where my money is, but she needs to basically find one of the other numbers if she's going to find any kind of Xavier.
I don't know. I don't know.
When you say one, I'm like, one might be alive. Do they die?
We don't know. I would assume, but maybe they live 3 times as long. Yeah. I really don't know. When she goes to her mom's place, after she connects and the lights, all of that happens, which was beautiful and haunting, and she sees what she sees, is the woman who's with her mom a bad person?
I wanted to ask y'all, because who is she?
I thought she was a sister.
But I couldn't tell if she knew what was going on in the flashbacks.
And she didn't want 11 to know.
Yeah, when she's like, what happened to my daughter? Who took? He took him. And she's like, no, it was never born. It didn't work. Mm. Was she clued in?
I think she didn't know what was going on, because then even later she says, I'm sorry I didn't believe you. So she probably got swept, you know, with everything else. Like, oh yeah,
that's what I would say too to somebody who I had burned.
So here's what I'm pretty sure the I'm pretty sure the timeline goes, like, so mama is, she pregnant, she goes to the hospital, she gives birth, what's his name, papa is there, takes the baby before, like, she gives birth, and like before she can, anyone else can see it, takes the baby away, tells her it was stillborn. She doesn't believe him, doesn't believe the hospital her that. Well, the aunt believes, like, okay. Oh, but it was stillborn, like the baby didn't make it.
Doctors know everything.
Yeah, kind of, so from the aunt's perspective, it totally makes sense that she has postpartum depression, that, like, her kid dying, she's crazy. So the two of them, like, that's where it all starts to go downhill. The electroshock therapy to
crap.
And that's why she's saying what she's saying,
oh my
too.
God. That hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Now you're feeling.
I'm a nice lady. I have feelings.
All right, let's talk about, because we only have a couple minutes left, where we end up with mm-hmm. everything. So that's where we left off with Elle and her mom. It'll be crazy to see what happens from mm-hmm. there next. With Will, him seizing out on the ground. Like, finally we go and we have Joyce save Hopper. And it's like, yeah, little victory. Boom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we get hit with that.
Mm-hmm. So here's where Will is now. Will is basically in a Harry Potter Voldemort situation with the shadow.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Shadow thing. Because, like, he is... But here's, I don't know how far that analogy goes, because right now, as far as the show's told us, he can see what and remember things mm-hmm. that the shadow monster has done or seen or is seeing, like just the way that Harry saw through Voldemort's eyes via the scar.
But we're curious whether that works the other way around.
Does
as well.
It? Is it just building to that, or is it? Is this how intelligent is this shadow monster? Is it planting these things intentionally in order to draw events together?
Possibly.
And what does the shadow monster want? I mean, that was my big question in season 1 with the Demogorgon, which was just sort of a mindless killer. But is there an intelligent creature with a want and a desire behind all of this?
I feel that with the shadow monster, absolutely.
That there is a want and desire?
Yeah, like, I just want it to speak or, like, communicate with some sort of language that they can decipher.
Remember like that time that Bob gave the worst advice that ever happened of all time and was like, go away. Face it and tell it to go away. And then it legitimately took over his whole body.
Hello.
Well, and now I'm wondering how good advice. The shadow went inside him. So how connected is he? Because when they use the flames, the fire under in the upside down, that's when Will starts convulsing. Right. So how far does that connection go?
Like, does that fire break the connection?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is
breaking the connection going to, like, kill Will at this point?
Yeah. There can only be one, Harry Potter.
And then where do we cross over? Because on the other side of this, we've got Nancy and Jonathan on their mission, and they're working on watering things down right now. So that's, like, the whole other B story we've got going on.
Yeah, they're trying to take down the entire Department of Energy. Which I keep just calling Department of Energy because I don't know what
Hawkins
else to call it.
Lab.
Hawkins Lab, but that's like that location. Yeah. There's a bigger...
It's the people. Yeah. The people inside.
Core. Well, and it's interesting because you have like three parallels where people are telling other people, this is basically what's going on, and then you have different people reacting different ways. So each one is what we were seeing when we ended up. This.
Yeah. All right. So that pretty much leaves us off where we are. I would ask you guys for predictions, but it's already out there. So I feel like predictions, and you already saw it. I don't want to know what you have to say about predictions.
She said she saw 5 minutes. It's really hard to stop autoplay sometimes.
It was really, really hard.
Especially if you use a Google Chrome. Those things do not stop quickly.
I literally like had to do the run out of the room and like legit. I was like, holy crap. And I was like, wow, I've got to stop this somehow. I made my boyfriend closed the computer. I was like, crap, can't hear.
It's hard.
It is hard. Amazing first 5 episodes, though. Something tells me that the last 4 are going to be even better.
Mind-blowing.
Really excited for that. So if you guys want to join the conversation live, you know how to do that. Go to YouTube. You can watch us at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Is that you imitating how
that's
to go
me.
To YouTube?
Yeah, you go on, you type in www.youtube.com.
That is
slash,
that's fantastic.
Go to AfterBuzz TV Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
I'm getting it. Yeah.
That's exactly how to do it. So great, you can join us live. Or if you're listening afterwards on iTunes, then make sure you rate, comment, subscribe. Always write a comment afterwards so we can know what you're thinking, because we love keeping up the conversation with you.
And if this is your first time with the Stranger Things After Show, with me and Roxy, search on Netflix's YouTube for Stranger Things After Show Season 1.
Yes.
Where Roxy, me, DJ Jesse J, and Tiana Hobson got into it episode by episode at length.
Yes,
That's over on Netflix's YouTube page.
Oh, God, I love the show. I love the show. And as always, you can keep the conversation going via Twitter. You can find me at Roxy Stryer.
I'm at That Zach Wilson.
On Twitter, I am at Ivano L. Williams.
Also for me, it's Amy Cassandra TV. I do want to say you guys can see me on Netflix News Sunday nights at 7. That's ongoing. So if you love Netflix things like Stranger Things, you can watch us over there.
So you break down all things Netflix news.
Everything.
Netflix has got it, dude.
Netflix they got it is going. The bomb.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we love you guys. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place.
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.